Today is the midpoint of the season of Lent. The fourth Sunday of Lent is often referred to as Laetare Sunday, a word which in Latin means rejoice, and it comes from the first word of the entrance antiphon that we heard the choir sing this morning. They sang rejoice. Some celebration is allowed today, the rose-colored vestments, the flowers on the altar, the playing of the organ, and the additional singing mark this as a sort of festive respite in the season of Lent. Of course, we still have more than half of the season left to go, and certainly the sort of more intense half of the season of Lent. As many of you are aware, my parents live in New Jersey. They live sort of smack dab in the middle of the state, both vertically and horizontally. And I spend a lot of time driving up 95 and the New Jersey Turnpike, and there's various rest stops that you hit along the way. I try to make that trip without stopping, but the older I get, the more necessary it seems to stop along the way. And I try to time the stops to hit my favorite rest stop, which is the one with the nicest Starbucks. So when you go to the rest stop, you can do whatever you need to do, get out, stretch your legs, get something to eat, take care of whatever you need to take care of. And today's feast, this fourth Sunday of Lent, is kind of like a little rest stop in the season of Lent. As we travel the road to the cross, we have to realize and we need care along the way. In this Crossroads homily series today, we're going to consider how God cares for us on this journey to the cross. How do we receive the refreshment that we need to keep going? What are the rest stops along the way? Today's scriptures give us a little bit of insight into that. In the first reading from the book of Joshua, we hear that the Israelites are camped right outside the promised land. They're ready to go into that land that God said he would give them, the land flowing with milk and honey. And as they're camped there, they celebrate the Passover meal, the meal which for them is not just a remembrance, but it's a making present of that Passover mystery. How God moved them from slavery in Egypt to freedom. How he moved them from death to life. We're told that as they go into the promised land, the manna ceases. If you remember, the manna is the bread that God gave them during their wandering in the desert when they were starving. And this bread accompanied them throughout their journeys. And now it ceases because they've entered the promised land. And they're able to eat off of the produce of the land. God feeds his people through their journeying, and now he has provided for them when they reach their destination. In our responsorial psalm today, we responded and said, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord." We see how God cares for his people throughout their journeying. We come then to the gospel reading we just heard, the parable of the prodigal son, perhaps one of Jesus' most famous parables. We see the young son who has gone off to live his life in the way he chooses, and he encounters a famine. There's no food, and he has no money. He has no way to provide for himself. So he goes and gets a job. And he gets a job doing what for a Jewish person would have been something unthinkable, feeding pigs. Pigs were unclean in the Jewish law. A Jew could not be anywhere near them, nonetheless eat them, without them becoming unclean. The young son would have been happy to eat the food that the pigs eat. This hunger within him, this starvation, gets him to think about his father's workers who are very well fed. That starvation, that hunger, becomes a motivator to get him to go back to his father's house. We then see the father, who in his joy is willing to slaughter the fattened calf. He wants to have a feast, for his son has come back to life. But then there's the older son, who's jealous that his father has not even given him a goat to have a party with his friends. The goat must have been somewhat lesser portion than the fatted calf. As we travel the road to the cross, we need sustenance. The journey would be impossible without it. These themes of food and meal and feasting are woven throughout today's scripture readings to show us where the sustenance that we need comes from. So how are we sustained on our journey to the cross? First and foremost, I think we are sustained by the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist, like the ancient Passover, is a memorial feast. It's the sacrificial meal that God provides for us. And like the Passover, it's not just the commemoration of the past, but it makes present the saving events of the crucifixion of Jesus. The Mass brings us to Calvary. The Mass brings us to our Christian Passover, from death to life. The father of the prodigal son, he celebrates with a feast because his son has come back to life. The Eucharist is Jesus' risen flesh. It is a celebration of the fact that Jesus has come back to life. God brings his people through the trials of the desert by sustaining them with manna, the food from heaven. The Eucharist is our food from heaven, which sustains us on our life's journey. The manna ceased when the Hebrews entered the promised land, and the Eucharist will cease when we reach heaven. When we've reached the goal of our journey, there's no longer need for food for the journey. But until that time, God provides for us. He provides the sacrifice of his son to be our food. So we want to receive that gift of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist worthily. And in order to receive the Holy Eucharist worthily, we also need the sacrament of reconciliation. We want to receive every grace that can possibly be received in communion. And to do that, we have to get rid of those things that shouldn't be there. We can become satisfied with the scraps that fall from the table, like that younger son. The scraps appear to satisfy. We think, well, that'll be enough. But the scraps can ultimately be damaging to us. Our sins may appear to satisfy. They might be attractive for a time, but they will leave us damaged. If they're serious, mortal sins, they'll cut us off from the life of grace. But if they're those venial sins, they just kind of pile up and block the flow of grace. The older son, we see he digs his heels in. He refuses to be moved. Maybe we can be like that older son, thinking, well, I'm good enough. I don't really need to be moved. But there's always need for conversion. God loves the younger son, and he loves the older son. And he wants to bring us to a deeper place. On the road to the cross, the Eucharist is necessary. Our reception of the Eucharist in a worthy state is necessary. So we need the sacrament of reconciliation. And after we receive Jesus in Holy Communion, we also want to adore our Lord. And that's the second way that the Eucharist sustains us on our journey to the cross. We have many times of Eucharistic adoration in our community. Many people take advantage of them. Some don't. But to have that time to simply sit before the Lord and speak to him is a graced time. Of course, we always want to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, but to sit and pray before the Lord is a time when we can speak to him and he can speak back to us. I know that when I first started attending Eucharistic Adoration, I didn't really know what to do. You always think you have to be doing something. And to sit for any period of time in silence can sometimes be uncomfortable. But what I realized is that that is time for me to speak to Jesus as if I were speaking to any other person, speaking to one of my friends, to tell him the thoughts in my heart and on my mind, to tell him what I'm struggling with, to share with him my joys and my successes. It might even be a time to take a little piece of scripture and to meditate and reflect on that scripture, to pull it apart a little bit, to simply sit and be in the presence of the Lord. Today at 4 o'clock, we're going to be having evening prayer and a time of adoration to mark this halfway point of the season of Lent. The first three announcements today all are concerned with times of adoration in the next week. Even if you can't come to adoration for whatever reason, maybe it's your family schedule, what you can do is come to Mass early. Because when we sit here in church, Jesus is present in the tabernacle. We can adore his presence in the tabernacle of the church. Again, we're blessed here at St. Agnes and St. William of York that before Mass begins, it's very quiet. Some churches, unfortunately, it's like pandemonium before the Mass begins. But here, it's quiet reflection time. And if we can build that time of coming to Mass early, we can sit before the Lord and speak to him and adore him. My friends, we sang today, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord." God showers down his goodness upon us, not like the manna upon the ancient times, but our food for the journey, the Holy Eucharist. Christ is truly present here with us and for us, and he wants us to receive every grace that he has to give us. May Christ's presence in the Eucharist sustain us and encourage us as we journey all of life's roads to the cross.